covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Dang. Those are the ones that if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out. Brewers fall 3-2 in 10 innings to the Marlins. They were one strike away from winning it. Instead, they lose it in extras. Let's start with what we're not going to. Here are the things that we're going to list off. Joe Ross got hurt, and the bullpen pitched great. You give up two earned runs over 10 innings, you're going to win more games than not. It's not totally the pitching's fault tonight. Another thing we're not going to do. We're not going to bring up that free agent that's down in Mexico that's got charges stemmed against him that's waiting court cases. We're not talking about that guy. We're not. I know the Brewers are likely headed to an IL stint here for Joe Ross. That is reported by Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're waiting to hear the rest of us the word from Pat Murphy on some of the stuff that went down today. So we're not talking about Trevor Bauer. Okay? We're not talking about that guy. Another thing we're not going to talk about is the fact that the Brewers are hurt right now with this, the fact of their bullpen has just been used a ton. And when your starting pitcher gets hurt after one inning, there's nothing you can do. It's all hands on deck. So those are the things that are off limits. Everything else, let's talk about it. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Part of that news from Todd Rosiak, though, and this is really important context to start off the show with, because I think this has to be the A block here. The decision to bunt, okay, set the stage, tie game 2-2, top of the 10th inning, placed runner on second, Bryce Turang. He's running for William Contreras. It's the DH spot, totally fine. So Bryce is on second, Yelich leading off the inning against the lefty Tanner Scott. Yelich ends up drawing a four-pitch walk. So now you have your two best base runners on base. And a righty up the platoon advantage against the lefty, Tanner Scott, who threw four consecutive pitches out of the zone against the lefty he was supposed to get out. Joey Ortiz was showing bunt, pulled it back, ball one. Showing bunt, pulled it back, ball two. Hitters count, platoon advantage, first and second. Here's the context before we talk about the bunt. We just learned this from Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Joey Ortiz is getting x-rays on his right foot, which is bothering him because he was the same spot that he got hit by a pitch on back in the fourth inning. Remember, he fell down as soon as he got hit by that pitch, but he stayed in the game. He's getting x-rays. That's not a good sign. In that context, is not everything. But it's important to note of why he then was still asked to bunt. However, if you ask me, Joey is your hottest hitter. He's got count leverage against a guy who hasn't thrown a strike yet. And you've got the two best base runners on the team. Furthermore, single probably scores Turang. He can fly. You don't need him on third. You want him on third, obviously, with less than two outs for a sacrifice fly. And the whole philosophy behind a sacrifice bunt is to hand it to the guy up next. Well, the guy up next is in a slump, his worst slump of the season, and that's Willy Adames. I know he had the epic moment in Kansas City with the go-ahead home run at the top of the ninth inning when the Brewers were really up against it. This whole month, he's now hitting 176 with an OPS under 600. He has struck out 17 times to just three walks. He is not putting bat to ball right now. He is slumping. In fact, including tonight going 0 for 5, he is now just 1 for his last 21, including tonight. So you're asking him to elevate a ball and get a ball out of the infield. I personally, now, we know the context now that Ortiz was not feeling well. The foot was not 100%. But I still sit here, I'm saying, your count. If you take a strike, so be it. The bunt is back on. The dude hasn't laid down a big league sacrifice bunt. He hasn't laid down a bunt since 2022 when he was in the Orioles organization. He's laid down three minor league bunts. Not exactly a strength of his. I would have let him swing, even with there's something we don't know there about the foot. My gut said let him swing. Pat Murphy knew that his foot was bothering him, and he kept the bunt sign on. That's what I imagine the reasoning will be. We'll play you the audio from Pat Murphy once we have it. So I was shocked by that decision in the moment, but now we have reasoning for it. But Willie, striking out on an elevated fastball, as we mentioned, in a slump. Gary put bat to ball, but he had even fallen behind 0-2 on a back-to-back foul balls, and he went 0-for tonight. So we can really put a microscope on that 10th inning. We can also blame the padded wall on the ground rule double on the ball that got lodged down the right field line on a Jake Bowers clutch hit. Would have been an insurance run to make it 3-1 at the time. But I look at the fact that the Brewers 1 through 6 in the order, the only times they reached base were via walk. And I know a walk's the same thing as a hit, but walks don't score runs when there are runners on second and third. The Brewers went 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. You can't score two runs. You just can't. You're not going to win games when you score two runs. When mistakes happen and when you're not able to drive in second and third and one out, it feels like that was the game. And yes, they lost the game in that moment, but there were 9 other innings. They should have scored more than two runs. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. This one from Doug. When I saw this lineup, I said maybe two runs. The pitching still almost pulled it out, but with two lefties to go this series, this could be trouble. The lefties thing is a real thing. We got to monitor that. Joey Weimer getting activated off the IL today. We haven't even talked about all the moves that happened today. Joey Weimer getting activated off the IL and gone straight into the starting lineup. He went 0-for-3 today. His only hits this season are off left-handed pitching. And quite frankly, this looks like it's going to be a very important week for him because the Brewers are trying to find a solution for the outfield against lefties. Blake Perkins has really hit a slump, and the left side has been where he's had the majority of his at-bats. He's barely had any at-bats from the right side. Then you look at, you know, not having Rhys Hoskins. That's some really big thump you'd love to have right in the middle of your order. Churio's not driving the ball right now. He went 0-for-3 with a walk. But the way I see it, the Brewers had opportunities earlier in the game. I mean, I look at the opportunity that Yelly stole home on in the sixth. He stole home because he sensed that there was maybe a chance for him to do it. Steal a run whenever you can. The next two guys, Adames and Sanchez, both struck out. Then in the ninth inning, you had the exact guy you wanted up. Yes, I know you had the bad luck with the ground rule double. You had bases loaded, two outs for Contreras, and he went 0-for-5 today. Back-to-back 0-fers for him. You can't have the weight of the world on his shoulders. But you had the guy you wanted, didn't come up with the hit that you wanted to get insurance. Luck's part of the game. There's no way to quantify it. It's bad luck that Jake Bowers hit a ground rule double that got lodged underneath the wall in right field. It's bad luck. Same thing could happen if a ball gets lodged in the posts of the wall at American Family Field, or if a ball gets stuck in the ivy, or if a ball falls in the baskets at Wrigley Field. There is luck in this game. We're going to Wrigley this weekend. That's a weird scoreboard at the bottom of the monster where there's metal and there's weird bounces off of that. Luck is part of the game. But you hope by having 27 outs, in today's case 30 outs, your opportunities are going to outweigh the luck. So I wanted to set the stage there. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. A ton of text coming in. I'm getting to all of these. I'm going to get to you here in just a moment. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor all season long, Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank. National Association, member FDIC. More news coming out of the clubhouse. We'll take a breather, come back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Petronio, listening in to Pat Murphy here for a little bit. He confirmed they called the bunts. They did not like the matchup with Tanner Scott, which I'm going to politely disagree with, but that's okay. He's the manager. It's his call, and it's my job to react. He also said that, you know, prodded quietly, you know, just sort of saying, hey, you know, you would think you don't play conservatively on the play by Jackson Churio in right field in the ninth inning. I haven't even talked about that yet. He didn't get a good look at it. He admitted that. I don't want to say for sure until he sees it on tape, is what Murph said. But, you know, in theory, you don't want to play conservatively in the ninth inning, but I got to go back and see it. That is manager code for saying, I'm not trying to throw my 20-year-old under the bus, but even if he laid out and didn't come up with the baseball, you're not sitting here saying, what if? Okay, that's the big thing. And I've got numbers to back up some of those thoughts here as well. All right, 855-616-1620. A lot of texts rolling in here. This one from Mike. We lost on an error. I disagree with that. But Murphy still played it right in the tent. Unfortunately, they didn't execute. And that's a good take. But I think they needed to get more opportunities to execute. They did not play well. That was the play. Should have won this game. I agree with that, Mike. Brian and Tosa. Might be the worst loss of the season. Absolutely, no doubt. I agree with that. McGill has been lights out up to this point. He's probably due for a blown save. And it was basically a blue pit that scored the tying run. But you can put all the blame on the, you can't put any of the blame on the relievers in. Once again, a left-hander shuts us down with only two hits. And the only second run scoring on Yelich. Of course, I agree. Then, getting a little concerned about Adames. I agree. His average is now slipping. And his at-bat in the 10th inning is certainly a pitch way out of the strike zone. We all needed was a fairly deep fly ball or ball in play. I agree. I mean, he's pressing. And when you're swinging at pitches at your eyes, you're pressing. And Willie hasn't had a day off this year. Neither has William Contreras. And both of those guys have gone 0 for the last couple of days. Maybe it's time. Maybe. Just give him the chance to hit the reset button. Justin at Sun Prairie. So they bunt with their hottest hitter in the 10th. And then they give the ball to Mitch White, who threw 40 pitches yesterday. Make it make sense. I can make that make sense. The pitching decision. Your starter was out of the game in the first inning. That was one of the first rules we talked about here, Justin. We're not talking about the bullpen today. Your starter got pulled in the first inning due to injury. All bets are off. Everybody's available, including Bradley Blaylock, who was called up today. I'm sure they did not envision him to have to throw into a leverage situation. You always check in with all your guys. I was surprised that we saw Elvis Piguero tonight. But again, all bets are off when your starter has to leave the game in the first inning. Elvis, that was his third time in the last 4 days. Hobie, that was his third time in the last 4 days. So we're not going to complain about the bullpen in that regard. You were literally down to your last arm. Score more runs. That's the answer to that one. Another one here, this one, Laurie and Franklin. I can understand when a ball player is hitting, you keep him in the lineup, but why isn't Pat Murphy moving Adames to a different spot in the lineup or having him out for a game or two? He's obviously not seeing the ball. I'm ready to give him a day off. I really am. And I think for Willie, he says, I don't want days off. I feel better continuing to figure it out. But there's a line to that, right? Hey, man, don't want it to be detrimental to the team. See what it can do there. This one, Terang should be leading off against lefties too. Let's see what he can do. I agree. I called for that in yesterday's show. I was worried about how little Bryce Terang could play this week. And he is such a spark plug for the top of this lineup. He only came in as a pinch runner today. I would like to see him get a start against a lefty. Just give him the chance. And I know there's all, oh, look at all this data from last season. He wasn't very good. He's a different guy. He's a completely different guy. Give him a chance. If he goes 0 for 15 against lefties, all right, you gave him the chance and you've got the data. But let's see this new guy against gets more chance against left-handed starters. This one, what's the strategy to intentionally walking two guys when they were 0 for 6 before the at-bats? Let me break that decision down as well. So the context, bottom of the 10th, you did not score the placed runner, so you got to keep a zero on the board. They have a man on second and nobody out. They bunt him over to third, so now there's one out. Jazz Chisholm coming up. You're trying to set up the double play. It's not so much about what he's done previously in the game. So you intentionally walk Chisholm to set up the double play. You thought about maybe walking both immediately to not even give Chisholm the chance to steal second base because there's no way the Brewers are going to throw down to try to get Chisholm. But the hope is that De La Cruz has a brain fart like he did with the double play back in the first inning where he swings at a ball with a ball running, and then it's a line out double play, and we go on to the 11th. But the double intentional walk was to set up the double play. That's pretty standard in my opinion. I have no qualms with that decision as well. This one, everything you listed are valid reasons we lost. This one stings. Time to move on to the next. Just really frustrating. Welcome in Craig Kishon now here on the program. We learned a lot in just the 25, 30 minutes or so between the end of the game and now, Craig, that Joey Ortiz x-rays are now negative, according to Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So that might have played into the bunt decision. We also learned that maybe Chirio could have caught the ball. Maybe he couldn't have. And Joe Ross is probably headed to the IL. And the Brewers lose in 10 innings in really, really frustrating fashion. I don't even know where to start with this, but just I think this is a game that you just say, like, gosh darn it, you should have won it.
Yeah, there's no question. I really believe this team should have won this game for sure. But, you know, I think you just end up kind of treading on thin ice a little bit, as deep as they had to go with their bullpen here in this one. And just how a couple of guys right now offensively are struggling. I mean, Contreras is struggling here the last couple of days. Adames is, you know, struggling in the month of May, struck out his last three times up. I don't think we need to go up and down the lineup here right now, because you're also facing a lefty, and they made the choice today to overload with righties. And really the one guy who came through was Monasterio. No one would have ever predicted that, since he only had one hit on the season going into his at bat when he hit the home run. So kind of a bizarre game there. You lose Joe Ross after one inning. Nobody expected that. He's been pitching so well. And, you know, one inning into the game, and all of a sudden, you know, the whole complexity of your pitching staff changes. And now you've used seven guys out of the bullpen here tonight. They had to cover, you know, nine innings. So a lot of storylines, not including, I didn't even mention, you know, Jake Bauer hitting that one down in the corner, and it turned out to be a ground rule double, and a run should have been on the board, and it wasn't. The Brewers didn't score in that inning either. So a lot of bizarre things. But I'll tell you this, Dom. This is one where I think that I fear a little bit. Each team in the league at some point goes into a funk, and I'm not talking about, you know, the three or four game slides we've seen, but a funk. And sometimes it happens on these road trips, and they've only won one game here so far. And these are the kind of games that, you know, kick you in places you don't want to be kicked, and it's tough to recovery. And so that's what I kind of fear here right now as we move into the week. And you know what else? Miami's playing probably their best baseball of the season. They've won 6 of 8. As much as they look like a downtrodden, give-up team, you know, there's a lot of guys that are still fighting to win games, and they've done it lately.
Yeah, and I know the Marlins are playing better baseball, and they're now 16-33, which is obviously a not great record, to say the least. But it doesn't matter who you're facing, whether it's the Miami Marlins, whether it's the New York Yankees, or whether it's the Nashville Sounds. If you only get 4 hits in a game and strike out 10 times in 10 innings, you're not going to win. This was an offensive loss, not about what happened with the bullpen. And, man, the bullpen was fantastic tonight. It's not Mitch White's fault that with an inning starting with a runner on second base, he couldn't keep it scoreless. Of course it's not his fault. The Brewers' offense did not show up tonight. And now you flush it and try to get back on track, because you know you're going to face another couple of lefties. And quite frankly, Wednesday's lefty is a little tougher than tomorrow's lefty, so you better get your hit and shoes on tomorrow, because it's going to come at you really quickly with Jesus Luzardo on Wednesday, Trevor Rogers going tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, these are – I mean, look, if you're going to face lefties and you're going to kind of change the flow of your – not only your batting order, but who's starting and who's going to stay in the game for you. I think, you know, some guys just have to adjust what they're doing at the plate. And I hope, quite honestly, after what we saw tonight, that we see, you know, some adjustments of what the approach is going to be when you step into the batter's box, because it's gotta be able to change a little bit and to adjust. You know, you can't always win by being you and playing your game. Sometimes you got to adjust along the way, depending upon who you're facing. So I think that's what I would like to see, you know, tomorrow night from some of these guys. And, you know, if there's going to be another lefty out there too, you know, is Andrew Monasterio going to get another start? You'd almost think so after what he produced here today. Why was he in there today? Because he's right-handed and just deserved a chance. So just things like that I would like to see tomorrow. No, it's certainly not the end of the world. But these games are out there for the Brewers to take on the road. And they started the year so well on the road. They've definitely slumped on the road here. I think they've only won two of their last six or seven or eight games on the road. So time to get one tomorrow, man.
It's go time, really, to say the least. And when it comes to Monasterio, I imagine he's back in there tomorrow since he had half the hits today for the crew. I imagine he's back in there tomorrow when he's maybe playing third base if Joey Ortiz needs a day with this big toe, with this foot issue that he's dealing with after the hit by pitch earlier today. I do want to break down Jackson Churio's decision to not dive and all of that, of the learning curve and what the numbers say about it. That's coming up next. We will find some silver linings in this one, too. Brewers fall 3-2 in 10 innings to the Marlins, game one of a three-game set. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Okay, we're going to take this segment into two parts. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers fall 3-2 in 10 innings tonight to the Marlins. This first part, we're going to break down the Jackson Churio decision of him not diving into play and breaking that down. Then the second half, we're going to go back and forth, Craig, with some positives from this game because I don't want it all to be Debbie Downer. There are a couple positives to pull from this. So let's start with the play. Setting the stage, runner on second after a stolen base with two outs and a little bloop by Otto Lopez down the right field line. Churio plays deep because he's not confident going back on the baseball, so he plays a little deeper than most. He races in, looks like he's close to the baseball, but then at the last moment pulls up, and the ball falls. It's a base hit. Run obviously scores. There are two outs, Craig. I don't care if that ball is 5 feet in front of you or 10 feet in front of you, and it's a bloop in that. It's not going to get by you very far. If you don't dive, I'm sorry, we'll never know. We have to sit here and talk about, what if he dove? Because, man, that was really close.
Yeah, that was too close, I think, to hold up and play it safe. I just think in a game where there's two outs, Dom, I think the bottom line is, and I'm speaking on Churio's ability here, he's incredibly fast. He's got good instincts. And he needs to use them. And that's the bottom line. Does he need to do it every single time? He's got to do it to figure out how to get better. He's got to do it to experience it. He's got to do it, you know, to become an elite outfielder, not just an outfielder. I think the same thing for playing deep. I know playing deep in the ninth inning late in games is, you know, obviously a common decision and thread to use. I get that. But he's going to get more confident, I think, going back on balls. But he needs to just go on his instincts and live on who he is. And hopefully after tonight, he'll figure that out. It's the only thing you can take out of this game. That's why he plays so many games. That's why he's in there. He's in there at 20 years old because he has the ability to do this stuff. So, To me, you got to give it a shot. You got to dive. You got to do something. Because I agree, I don't think that ball is going to skip past you at all. The way it's just blooping down in there, that you couldn't recover pretty quickly.
And it's like you've got both ends of the spectrum on this team. You've got Sal Frelick, who's never afraid to dive, sometimes to his own detriment, and you got Jackson, who did not dive tonight. Now, let me end this with the conversation about the numbers. We all know I'm a numbers guy, and I try to marry the two. And one of the beautiful things we have with StatCast is catch probability. And I have access to the StatCast portal in the game. There can be some tweaking. We might see this number update tomorrow because it just smells fishy to me that it said 0% catch probability. I can see every single play based on the outfielder who was closest to fielding the baseball, what his catch probability is. And the way that's calculated, I've made a breakdown of this on my YouTube page, Dom Brewers, WTMJ, if you want to check that out, on Blake Perkins. But the way it tracks it is basically it accounts for your jump, your average sprint speed, your route to the baseball, that sort of thing. If I could pick one flaw with the way that Churio went after this baseball before the decision to dive or not, it was actually something we can measure called route efficiency. How straight of a line did you run to the ball that you eventually needed to play? Now, this might be a little lower than we want because of him pulling up, but it was 84%, which isn't elite. It's not great. But the other thing that I noticed about this play, and we can measure jump, I can get lost in the sauce with all of this stuff, but plain and simple, he needed 100 feet to make the play. You have 4.7 seconds to make the play, according to the moment the ball was hit in the air. Okay, so that's a long opportunity time, but that's from the moment the ball is hit in the air. It's really not, it's a little less than that. You got to read the ball, you got to run the ball, you got to go get it. He essentially had to cover 100 feet in about 3.5 seconds. And his jump was the best jump of his season. He covered 46 feet in the first 3 seconds, which obviously leaves not much time. And if you're running 29 feet per second like he was, that would put him at 72 feet, obviously coming up short. So I'm going to listen to the math here. We'll see if it updates tomorrow. But the point is, if you leave your feet, we're not sitting here breaking down like, oh, man, why don't you just leave your feet? Even if you come up empty, it is what it is, and we all can move on. So StatCast tells us that he's going to learn, he's going to get better, and maybe one day he's playing a little more shallow, and that's a routine play for him. With that being said, Craig, Christian Yelich stole home, and I have to wait till the third segment to talk about it because of everything else that happened. Christian Yelich stole home, Craig.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I just love the aggressiveness of this team and how it hasn't stopped, Dom. I mean, we saw it from opening day on, and just the fact that you got a guy that clearly knows what he's doing on the base paths and is really one of the smartest runners in the game. I mean, that thing was so perfectly timed, and a greater analogy is it was so perfectly calculated, and that's what it takes to do what Christian Yelich did. I mean, there's no way that ball on a surprise is coming back from the pitcher in any position to get him out at home. Not the jump that he had and the speed that he has, and that's why he went. He knew it, and it was just a great play, high entertainment right there, just high entertainment, and just another reason to love the game of baseball because stuff like that just doesn't happen in other sports. So I hope people enjoyed that one and wouldn't be surprised to see that again sometime.
It was really cool. The data is a little spotty because of pickoffs and double steals and that sort of thing. The last straight steal of home was by Scott Podsednik back in 2003 as a rookie at Wrigley Field. And you can get technical and say, oh, well, it was on a pickoff, but that's still stealing home. Like, it was a pickoff to first, and then he just read it perfectly and broke for home. That's stealing, and I'm cool with that. And now Christian Yelich stealing on a just toss back to the mound. Unfortunately, that would be all for the offense today, but Yelly looks healthy. He continues to show off, you know, athletic moves, and he's made a couple of diving attempts in the outfield today. He stole two bases. He walked twice, but obviously didn't get a ball out of the infield. We're still waiting on that first extra base hit. Or rather, first home run, I should say, since coming off the injured list. But what we've seen from Yelly so far is certainly encouraging from the back issues.
It really is. I mean, you know, just the fact that look, that was kind of a hard collision at home plate as well. So, I mean, just the fact that he has all the confidence just to go in and take a run if he can says this guy is obviously 100% healthy. And you're right. The power will come soon enough, and when it does, it's probably going to come in bunches for him. He's just proving, you know, game in and game out how important he is to this offense here right now. And, you know, get this team healthy again. I know Hoskins made, you know, some steps today to come back. I would just love a nice long stretch instead of just a week or two at a time with Yelich and Hoskins in the middle, you know, of this lineup, which is pretty doggone, you know, tough for opposing pitching to deal with long term. So let's just all get there and stay healthy, Christian. That's for sure.
No kidding. I mean, I've said this before. I will say it again. As far as how few games Reese and the whole lineup, the core that you envisioned of Contreras, Yelich, Hoskins, Adames, all playing together, there are so few games of those. It's just been really frustrating to see. They obviously had each of the first six games of the season. Those were all together. But then things started to tweak, and obviously Yelich had the back issue, started giving Bowers days off. I'm counting it out live here on the radio right now. That's nine, and that's a day off, and that's not there. And then Yelich is out of line. So nine, and then back here this past week, they had a handful of games there. So it's a total of 13 games. 13 games that Contreras, Yelich, Adames, and Hoskins have all been in the same lineup. 13 of them. So it's May. It's May 20th. It's the end of May. It's almost real now. When you get into June, it's no longer early. It's play ball. But I want to see when you can get those guys all in the lineup at the same time. I think it's going to be a different team.
Yeah, and it is. It's clearly going to be a different team. And if this team, you know, skews off of the unlucky part of just being not healthy at this point and stays healthy in that second half, there's so much baseball left here. This is a talented team. You know, they're going to I think the biggest thing for them is to figure out how to keep this pitching going. What we saw tonight was pretty extraordinary. Just to skew back to that a little bit. This is why this is such a tough loss. They really should have won this game. And I'll just hope it doesn't have any lingering effects at all. That's for sure.
Yeah, I hope so as well. One other positive. I mean, I know they ultimately lost, but the bullpen to spring into action the way they did today. Jared Koenig, man, this dude has turned heads, and I am really happy for him because, look, even if he gets optioned tomorrow because he's going to be down for a couple of days or whatever they decide to do, this dude has been literally all over the world in every type of baseball you can imagine. And here he is kind of quietly finding a home right now for the Brewers, 2 2/3, scoreless innings today. He's pitching with the lead at times, and I know he's allowed a few runs here and there, but, man, a lefty that can give you length. Brian Hudson was great again today. Hobie Milner's streak ended, but he was still solid. What the bullpen did today, springing into action, cannot lose sight of what they did today.
No, not at all. And I'll be honest with you, Dom. You know, my underlying hope with Koenig is that they're able to not have to use the bullpen in its entirety the way we saw tonight over the next 2 days. And you can give this guy Tuesday and Wednesday off. You got a scheduled off day on Thursday. Then he's right back at it Friday. So you don't lose him for, you know, 10 to 15 days, whatever it is. I mean, that would be pretty detrimental to how important he's become in the short term to this bullpen here right now. So hopefully they'll figure out some things. They're going to have to juggle the roster, you know, perhaps not only just starting pitching, bullpen, you know, position player as well. We'll see how everything pans out tomorrow. But the bullpen, I just don't know how they're still getting it done game after game with how many guys that have been in and out and sent down, recalled, all that. It's been phenomenal. Not to have, you know, Devin Williams in there all year, how these guys are covering it. It's pretty phenomenal stuff. And, you know, it's just a credit to the organization for how they find guys and develop them and tweak them along the way as the season's gone. We've seen it all here so far.
We certainly have seen it all. Craig Kishon, you've seen a lot too, and we'll see you again tomorrow here on the radio. Thanks again, Craig. Appreciate you joining us.
All right, pal.
All right, cheers. As we'll hear from Pat Murphy coming up next, some other thoughts as well, as we're going to the top of the hour, about halfway through, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sauter Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Springtime here in Wisconsin means it's time for your annual AC tune-up. Sauter Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical has you covered. You can save $25 on AC preventative maintenance. It all goes through the end of the month, so time's running out. Schedule your appointment today at Seider, SEIDER.com. Normally we wait a segment for this, but I wanted to go ahead and get to it. Pat Murphy, his comments today after the Brewers lost in 10 innings, 3-2 to the Marlins.
Yeah, the ball that you know got stuck in the fence was one run. That would have been a run. It's part of the game of baseball, but it happens. You know, Monasterio scores on that, and the ball gets stuck in the fence, so that takes one off the board. And then, we had opportunities there, and they either made the play or we left the zone a little bit. But, it was hats off to our bullpen for what they did tonight to get us in that position. That's what you got to think about, like great performances by a bullpen tonight. It's Miguel pitched great. You know what I mean? He gives up a single and a blooper, and pitched well enough. I thought pitched well enough to get the job done. But Yelly's play is epic. That's great. You know what I mean? Just like a tremendous play there. But we had opportunity to go ahead. It hurts.
Murph, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
The play with Jackson there in the outfield looked like a little bit of hesitation. Do you think he should have maybe tried to lay out for that ball, or did he make the right decision by playing it conservatively
I don't think at the end of the game there you play conservative. I think you play aggressive there, but I didn't see it, so I didn't see it exactly. I'd have to watch it on tape to see. Not sure exactly. He's a 20-year-old kid trying to do what he thinks he needs to do, so I'm sure he'll learn from it. If it was a ball that he could have laid out for, I'm sure he'll learn from it. I got to look at it.
Yeah. The bunt by Ortiz there in that situation, too.
Yeah.
Did you call that, or was that something that you really wanted to do?
No, we called it. We called it. I mean, you're facing one of the best arms in the game. You know, that kid can really throw the ball. Scott, we've seen him in the past. He's been really good. And he's got this way we can hit a fly ball and score a run. You know what I mean? So
wild pitch. I mean,
Well, he's the one thing he's been prone to is, high walks, but he is he's very, very good. So I think, to try to get ahead and not, hit into a double play and take you out of that, you put the pressure on them. And we didn't get it done. Credit to the pitcher. He did the job.
Can you explain what happened with Joe and just kind of how that affected the plan with just one inning from him?
Yeah, I mean, it affects you a lot when your starter goes one. But, he had a lower back strain. He was feeling it a little bit before the game, so we knew about it. But then after he had to go run and back up third, it pulled on him again. So he got through the first inning. He came out after the first inning, said he wasn't feeling great. He said, I can go back out if you want me to, but I'm not feeling great. I'm not sure I can extend. So we thought it was in the best interest to get him out of there. And then our pen did a great job keeping us, till the blooper fell in. And then at the end, White did a nice job of doing what he had to do, throwing strikes and got the ground ball, but it just had eyes, got through.
Is it looking like maybe this thing with Joe could be an IL? It is. And then moving forward here, do you feel like you're okay in the next couple of days in the bullpen, or is that today tax you a little bit more?
When you try to win a game and you lose a one-run ball game, you're gonna tax your pen sometimes. So when your starter goes one, that's
you gotta do what you gotta do there.
I think so. And we were in position to win. This was like kind of a takeaway. And credit to the Marlins, and they kept fighting. And credit to them.
You mentioned Yelly's play being epic, but have you seen something like that?
Not too often. Not too often here, but he's not swinging the bat exactly the way he wants to right now in the last week or so. But he's a really good baseball player. So it's fun to watch.
He's been great, to say the least. That was an electric moment with him stealing home. One of the moments of the year, despite it being maybe the loss of the year. We're going to break down all the roster moves and maybe what's coming now for the Brewers, some injury updates coming up next. Wanted to hear from Murph as we start to move on now from this game. Look ahead. We've got highlights a little bit later as well. Brewers fall in 10 innings to the Marlins by a final of 3-2.
Sleep apnea is a serious condition. And the worst part about it is, because it affects you while you're sleeping, you don't know what this condition is doing to you.
And it was scary because I found out that I was waking up 145 times an hour. 145 times. I was scared. I wasn't getting the sleep I needed.
And that's the thing. Someone like John wakes up after thinking he's slept all night, and he's been feeling run down for years, and finally finds out something really is wrong. This is why, for us, solving sleep apnea problems is so gratifying, because we really are changing lives.
I've had more energy. I'm getting better sleep. I've been told from my wife I don't snore, but honestly, it changed my life.
This is Dr. Madan Kandula. Solving your breathing triangle problems means a better quality of life, and you deserve that.
Go to AdventKnows.com to schedule your appointment, because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better. Results may vary.
Visit family-owned Ken Michaels Furniture and our in-store design centers, where you'll still find beautiful, luxurious, heirloom quality American-made furniture. Right now, save 30 to 35% store-wide and take advantage of our complimentary design services. Whether you're moving, renovating, or updating, our designers will help your vision become a reality. Visit Ken Michaels Furniture in Brookfield on Capitol Drive and in Greenfield on Highway 100 to save 30 to 35% store-wide today. Sleep better and save more with mattresses from Milwaukee Mattress and Ken Michaels Furniture. Handcrafted in our Milwaukee factory, our mattresses utilize natural materials like cotton cushioning, which dissipates body heat, Joma wool quilts for warm wintry nights and cool summer evenings, and natural latex providing superior conformability and pressure relief for aching joints. Stop in today at any Ken Michaels Furniture store and save up to 50% compared to national brands.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
On a really busy day before the game, as a lot of roster moves were made. Let's break down each one of them. Joey Weimer, as you saw him in the lineup today, reinstated from the 10-day injured list with his strained knee. Obviously, he was in the lineup tonight. He went 0-for-3. Called from Double-A Biloxi, right-handed pitcher. He was acquired in the Luis Urias trade last trade deadline with the Boston Red Sox. And for Blaylock, if he gets into this week, he is going to make his big league debut. And you heard Murph just talk about it. They knew about Joe Ross's back issue coming into today's start. Now, there's a couple of things to break down with this. Why bring up a guy who's made seven starts in Double A? Well, the other guys on your 40-man roster right now, Kevin Hergett and Tobias Myers, who you may think of to call on first, there is a rule that you need at least 10 days in the minor leagues to be called back up. And well, today is day 10 for Myers in AAA Nashville. He was sent down after to make room for Robert Gasser on the active roster. And then also, it is 9 days for Kevin Hergett today. So you needed one more day to call up one of those guys. So I felt like the Blaylock move is to give you coverage just in case. And maybe for a day like tomorrow, he's coverage just in case. And then he'll be optioned back down to AAA, or to AA rather. It stinks that you have to use an option year in this fashion. But maybe we see him and maybe he gets a little cup of coffee here a little earlier than schedule in 2024. So that's part of the reason there, because obviously they still think very highly of Tobias Myers, but there are rules to protect the players to make sure that they don't get taken advantage of going back and forth all year long. So that was a big one that I saw needed to be explained. The other things, Chris Roller was optioned to AAA Nashville. He just had that one at bat in the game last Wednesday in Pittsburgh. He is outfield depth, and now that Joey Weimer is back, they will put Roller back to AAA. Thiago Vieira, designated for assignment, means he's essentially been cut. There are 5 days for teams to either make a waiver claim on him or offer a trade to acquire Vieira. I imagine somebody will acquire him. He throws 99. He's got a good slider when he commands it. Great clubhouse attitude. Incredible story of what he's been through over the years. And he's a fun guy to watch pitch. And quite frankly, he wasn't pitching with the lead for the Brewers, so that made him dispendable and expendable. And, well, thanks for the memories, Thiago. And if you stay in the organization, maybe we'll see you again at some point this season. So that made room for the Brewers to create some space on this active roster to have Bradley Blaylock come up on the pitching side of things, which also creates an interesting scenario that the Brewers are technically carrying 39 on their 40-man. So you may be thinking, Dom, why don't you just fill that up ASAP? Well, you got Garrett Mitchell coming back soon. You've got J.B. Bukauskas coming back soon. You got Jacob Junis coming back soon. Some more decisions are looming with the 40-man roster, so there's no sense in filling it immediately, given you've got some guys that are certainly due to return to the active roster. Up next, we're going to play some highlights. It was a loss, but there were some moments. We're going to relive them coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Game one in Miami, Ryan Weathers against Joe Ross. Little did we know Joe Ross would have a short outing today, but in the first, got some help from his defense with the new-look defense today. Andrew Monasterio.
Left-handed hitter with big-time power. And he lines this right into the glove of Monasterio, who catches it, flips to Adames, who doubles off De La Cruz, and it's a double play. And just like that, Joe Ross out of the inning.
Doing it with the glove and doing it with the bat. We're fast forward to the fifth, still a scoreless game. Joe Ross was done after an inning due to a low back strain. He's headed for the IL. The Brewers' bullpen kept it scoreless, and Andrew Monasterio broke out of the tie.
1-1, high fly ball out to center. Tracking it is Chisholm. Back at the track, at the wall. He leaps up. Bye-bye, baseball! Andrew Monasterio breaks up the no-hitter, and the Brewers up 1-0.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ. They added another one inning later with maybe the highlight of the year. Christian Yelich got on base with a walk with one out. He stole second base, then the throw went into center field, so he got over to third base. Then a few pitches later with men on the corners, Willie Adames at the plate. Don't be napping.
And he'll one. In there with a strike. Yelich trying to steal home. Here's the throw to the plate. He's safe! Oh, and the throwback, Yelich sprinted home. And the Brewers take a 2-0 lead.
Little did we know that would be the last run the Brewers would score today. In the seventh, still the Brewers trying to fight and hang on. One run had scored in the seventh against Toby Milner. It was an inherited run to Elvis Peguero's card. He had allowed a walk and a base hit, but now he's facing Otto Lopez. He's a ground ball specialist. Got to do what he got to do.
The one pitch. Swinging a broken back ground ball hit to short. Can they turn to Adames to second one? Relay Monasterio bounced it. Picked by Miller. They got him at first. It's a double play, and the inning is over.
Josh Maurer's call there. That was a huge pick by Owen Miller at first base. And quite frankly, unfortunately, that's where the highlights end. Brian Hudson had a scoreless eighth inning, leaving two stranded. Then the Brewers were one strike away in the ninth. Trevor McGill allowed a pair of singles. The blooper into shallow right tied the game, and then Josh Bell won it in extras in the 10th. We'll wrap it up, preview the rest of the week after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes here. Same time, same place tomorrow. 5:05 is when network coverage will begin here on 620 WTMJ for a 5:40 Central Time first pitch. Same thing tomorrow night as well. No day game getaway day because the Brewers are off on Thursday. So it will be back-to-back night games the next 2 days. 5:40 for both of them. Hope you can tune in here on 620 WTMJ. As for the starters due here for the Brewers, tomorrow will be Robert Gasser, his third career start, going up against the lefty Trevor Rogers. Gasser 2-0, 0.82 ERA in 11 innings. He's only allowed one earned run. Rogers 1-6, a 5.79 ERA. Then on Wednesday, there will be plenty of scouts in attendance. Freddy Peralta going for the Brewers against Jesus Luzardo for the Marlins. Luzardo is seen as maybe one of the best commodities available from the Marlins' impending fire sale coming as they try to reassess where their organization is going to be moving forward. Luzardo coming off of injury, he is 1-3, a 5.02 ERA this season. Then they are off on Thursday, And then it is on to Boston against the hot Boston Red Sox, and specifically Rafi Devers. He is now homered in six consecutive games. And as long as the Boston Red Sox have been around, that is a new Red Sox record. Think of all the hitters that have played for the Red Sox. None of them have hit a home run in six consecutive games. And Rafi Devers just did it tonight against Tampa Bay. So that's the weekend opponent for the Brewers at Fenway Park. Those games, a little bit different timing. Friday, hope you're listening, because that game, if you are a watcher, is on Apple TV+. We'll be with you here on WTMJ. Don't worry, and I've got you covered post-game for that one as well. It'll be a 6:10 first pitch on Friday, 3:10 first pitch on Saturday, and then a 12:35 first pitch on Sunday against the Sox. But that's getting ahead of ourselves here. Tomorrow, 5:40, Robert Gasser, his third career start, and you're going up against another lefty, so see if you can right the ship ASAP for the Brew Crew. My thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us, and for our producer, Matt Yazel. I'm Dominic Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.